when my grandson Noah was in the children's program and they did the story of baby Moses, and his teacher explained how they made a basket and they lined the basket with pitch, tar, that smells really, really bad, and so it would float and put Moses in it. And do you know why Pharaoh did not harm Noah in any way and didn't find him? I mean, Moses. And Noah said, Pharaoh just smelled that pitch and said, be you, and walked away. That was pretty cute. In your groups this morning, how many of you have already talked about what next week will look like? And there are some of you who did not. Is that correct? You all know. Okay, never mind. No. Oh, okay. So next week is our official sharing day. But, of course, today was our sharing day. Cheryl is gone. Cheryl is probably on an airplane somewhere right now going to her son's wedding, Luke's wedding, that will happen Saturday night. So Cheryl's not here today. So Cheryl assumes next week is our sharing day. But we really had a sharing day in our brunches today. Next week, we will all come in. We'll come into the sanctuary. We'll have about 10 minutes of worship. We'll have about 10 minutes of the children's slideshow. And then I will get up to talk, and I will make the morning go in a different direction. And I'll have Cheryl come and stand up here with me. 2012 marks the 20th anniversary of this Austin North CBS class. And Cheryl has been the teaching director of this class for 20 years. So we are going to have a surprise party for her. There are going to be guests coming from out of town. Her husband and her two sons are coming, and her brand new daughter-in-law of 1 week is going to be coming. And lots of old friends are going to be coming. So when you come in here next week, we're going to be sitting with our core groups, and there'll be signs on the pews so y'all will know where to sit. And we're going to leave these sides free, and we're going to leave the first, like maybe two rows free. So when Cheryl comes up on the stage and then the guests come in, first of all, I want her right here because I want you all to see her face. But when the guests come in, they'll sit in the empty rows that we've left empty, and we'll all sit with our groups. We'll have a couple of people that are going to say something, and we have, I think, maybe a video presentation or two. I'm thinking there might be something from Camilla Siebold, which is the national director of CBS. And then after we do that, we are going to all walk down the middle of the hallway to the fellowship hall. And lined on the floor of the hallway as we walk are going to be Cheryl-isms that the CBS leaders have made, that she's just going to walk all across. Things like, God is building a kingdom. Life is hard and then you die. You know, all Cheryl's favorite things that she likes to say. And then we'll go into the fellowship hall and we're going to have just punch and cookies. In the fellowship hall, there's going to be a basket there that will be provided. But if you'd like to write a card to Cheryl, you can just put it in that basket. So next week is going to be a really, really fun day. I'm really excited about it. If you would like to, in honor of Cheryl, you could wear red. And that will be kind of fun because red is her most favorite color. Okay. Oh, and then one small detail. Our morning is going to end about half an hour sooner. So those of you who have children in the preschool program, that time frame would affect you. So if you would go and pick your children up at 11 o'clock rather than 11:30. Excuse me? If you have any friends who are former CBS class members that you would like to invite, they are certainly welcome to come. It is just going to be a great big, like, class reunion. I'm really excited about it. I'm probably hardly going to be able to sleep that night. But anyhow, mostly I'm just excited to see Cheryl's face when her sons and her husband walk in. This is just going to be too much fun. Okay. That's it. Okay, let's begin. So we have the verses. Oh, it's just going to be a regular class day, 9:30 to 11-ish. So here are the verses for this morning. And just a note that when I get down to Isaiah 12, those rest of the verses, I'm going to say those all in conjunction rather than referring to those. So just a note for that. Okay. There are many wonderful tools that you can use to help study God's Word. There are many wonderful commentaries out there, books that are written by very well-educated, knowledgeable men and women. There are concordances that you can buy. In fact, probably most of you have a small concordance that's located in the very back of your Bible. There's lots of online tools that are really helpful, and a lot of them are free. There are maps and charts, and there are lots and lots of things that you can use, tools that are to help you to study God's Word. But there is only one thing that you need that is an absolute, if you would like to study God's Word, there's only one thing that you need, and that thing is faith. You must be convinced of what you cannot see, Jesus. You must believe that Jesus is who he said he was. You must believe that Jesus rewards those who seek him with life. Faith is an absolutely free gift. It costs nothing. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. So what exactly is the Word of God? The Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation that we're studying, who also wrote the Gospel of John, told us in his book of John 1, verses 1 through 3, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being. And then in verse 14, John goes on to explain, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A prophet is a spokesman for God. Prophecy is what God speaks forth. In the book of Revelation, verses 19, chapter 19, verses 11, we can read that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Our Bible is the Word which God speaks forth. It's that which was in the beginning with God, through whom all things came into being. Our Bible is the testimony of Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So John, the same John who wrote our book and the Apostle John, wrote to his children, those who were young in their faith, in his book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 1, John says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, Jesus." Our Bible is the Word that God speaks forth. It's prophecy. It's the Word of God. It is the Jesus that we can hear audibly, that we can see visually with our eyes, and that we can touch with our hands. But without faith, you will not see or hear or touch, you will miss the Word of life. The book of Revelation is written to those who have faith in Jesus, which is the Lamb. It's written to those who overcome difficult circumstances through their faith in Jesus. It's written to those who are obedient to his Word. And in the beginning of Revelation, when Jesus has his seven letters that he sent to the seven churches, at the end of all seven letters, you can read seven times, Jesus says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." And then in the very middle of the book of Revelation, in chapter 13, verse 9, right in the middle of the beast and the prophet, the scripture says, "If anyone has an ear, let him hear." So Revelation is written because these things will soon take place. So how soon is soon? The Bible says it is the last hour. The night is almost gone and the day is near. The end of all things is near. So what are these things which will soon take place? The prophet Ezekiel speaks God's word, and God says, "I shall draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. I have kept silent for a long time. Now I will lay waste. With wrath poured out, I shall be king." And God continues to say to you, "I shall also redeem you with an outstretched arm." Open your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and let's begin with verse 6. And he said to me, "These words are faithful and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits and the prophets, sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which soon must take place." The individual who is speaking to John is one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues. And the time frame for these events is yet future, but it's the very near future. It is future, and yet it's near. And the God of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, who spoke prophecy, God's word, is the same God of John, who speaks forth this prophecy, which is God's word. And these words of God are faithful and true. In Revelation 1:5, we read that Jesus is the faithful witness of God who speaks forth these words. So these things will take place quickly. Revelation 1:1 says they'll take place soon. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us we are not to mock God's timing for his return. About 4 years ago, I was in a car accident with a semi-trailer on I-35 in the middle of Round Rock on a Friday afternoon. I was in the middle lane. There was an 18-wheeler that was in front of me, and I wanted to pass this semi-truck. So I checked my passing lane to see if it was clear, and it was. And as I turned my head back around front, I began accelerating, and in an instant I saw, coming from the wheels of the back of the truck, was black smoke. For some reason, which I still don't know today, the driver of that semi-truck locked up its brakes, braking very hard. My car went into the back of that semi-truck, spun off of the truck, turned around, and came to a complete stop in the passing lane facing all three lanes of oncoming traffic, which had come to a complete stop. Now, that's amazing, and of course, I didn't get hurt. Pretty amazing. But what is most amazing about that episode for me are all the thoughts that came into my head. They were all very, very good. I was so excited. I knew I was going to die. Every physiological response in my body, I knew I was going to die. I knew it was going to hurt a lot, and it would probably be pretty quick. I knew that I was going to see the face of my Savior pretty quickly. I was so sorry for all the people who really loved me that would miss me. I was so sorry for them. But one of the first thoughts that went through my head was I was amazed at the quickness, the brevity, the short length of my life. Have you, during this wonderful, wonderful spring season, have you like bent down to pick a wildflower? And if it's a bluebonnet, I won't tell anybody. But did you pick a wildflower? And when you pick that wildflower, it leaves no space in the ground. You can't even tell where you picked it from. The psalmist writes in Psalms 103, verses 15 through 16, "As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer." We have no assurance of the length of our life. We don't know when it will end. But for those who are of faith, the psalmist continues to write, "But the everlasting of the love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." The first and last chapters in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "I'm coming quickly, and blessed is he who hears and pays attention to what I say." Let's look at verses 8 and 9. "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I'm a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of God. Worship God.'" Do you remember last week when I told you the story about the student who asked the seminary professor, "What do you do with all the difficult things that you find in God's word?" And the seminary professor said, "I really like to eat fish, but there's a lot of bones in fish. I just set the bones aside on my plate, and there's plenty of fish meat to satisfy me." Well, these two verses right here, where John is worshiping the angel, they're kind of like bones in Scripture for me. I really don't know why John did that. John lived with Jesus for 3 years. He saw him crucified. He saw his resurrected body. In 1 John, he talks about his very intimate relationship that he had with Jesus. And in Revelation chapter 1, he sees the Son of Man in this white robe with golden sash. His hair was white as wool. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were polished bronze. And he fell at his feet like a dead man. Also, in Revelation 19, John falls to the feet of an angel to worship him. There are many similarities in Revelation 19 and in Revelation 22. I like to give John the benefit of the doubt that he only did it one time, but I don't know that. I really don't understand this passage. But when I don't understand something, I look at it and I say, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about Jesus? And in these two verses, I can read that I need to heed and obey the words of this book, and that I need to worship God and nothing else. So although I know I have partial understanding of this, I still can glean and take something away. I need to worship God. My focus needs to be on Him and Him alone. Look at verse 10. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. In the last six chapters of the book of Daniel, Daniel has a series of visions of future kingdoms who will act wickedly. Daniel sees a certain man who's dressed in linen, and his appearance is like lightning and fire and bronze. It's like the man that John saw in Revelation chapter 1. When Daniel sees this man, he almost dies. I think maybe his heart stopped beating for a little while because all the color goes out of his face and he just falls down on the ground. He has no strength. And then Daniel has another vision. And this same man who's dressed in linen is standing above the waters. And he raises his right hand towards heaven and he swears by him who lives forever and ever that God's judgment is certain. That God's judgment is not yet complete. That God's judgment, aspects of God's judgment, are still sealed up. It's very much like Revelation chapter 10, where John sees a strong angel that's standing over the waters, and he raises his right hand, and he swears by him who lives forever and ever that God's judgment is certain, but it's not yet complete. It is still sealed up. I believe that in Daniel's vision, and it's just my opinion, that I believe it doesn't have something to do with an amount of time, a time frame, or days. I think it has to do with something that hasn't happened yet. In my opinion, God's mystery is unfolded when a virgin gave birth to a son. He was spotless and blameless, and he was the one-time sacrifice of the love and the kindness of God, and he has conquered sin and death. In chapter 22, John's vision of the mystery of God is now complete because it is the last hour. The night is almost gone and the day is near, and John is told, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book. The testimony of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Look at verse 11. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. When the mystery of God is complete, you who are stained with your sins will remain stained forever. You who have faith in the Lamb will be righteous and holy with your stains washed clean by his blood. Forever. Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. So what have you done? Have you placed your faith in the Lamb, or have you rejected the Lamb? Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The Lamb, who was in the beginning with God, and the Lamb who is the complete revelation of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in him. Look at verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Blessed or happy, or joyful, or near to God, or those whose sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They will enjoy the everlasting life of the Lamb, and they will dwell where he dwells. And outside will be all of those who have not been cleansed by his blood. Look at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I'm the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is speaking to his church, to his bride, to those whom he has purchased with his blood. He is all of God's precious promises complete. Look at verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. In the book of Isaiah, in chapters 54 and 55 and 56, all three of those chapters, the context is God's salvation. It's God's invitation of salvation to you. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. And then in verses 6 through 11, the invitation continues. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then this very familiar passage that probably all of us know, it has to do about God's workings of salvation. His mystery, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without first watering the earth, and making it bare and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire. God's word of salvation is going out to you this morning. So are you thirsty? Are you tired of the stains of your sin? Come and taste the water of life. It's clear as crystal. Come and drink it. It comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And you will never thirst again, because this water is unlike any other water. It's living water. Can you hear the words of God? If you deny God's word because of your lack of faith in his Son, or if you distort his word because of your rejection of the salvation message of his Son, you will die in your sin. And you will one day experience the wrath of the Lamb. Do you have an ear to hear? Are you an overcomer? Are you his bride? Have your garments been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And God speaks to you. You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. And the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. And the Lord will be king over all the earth in that day, and the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Father God, we will be eternally grateful for that which you have provided for us, salvation through the spotless, sinless blood of the Lamb. And we will spend eternity praising you as we continually learn of your aspects of mercy and kindness and love towards us. And this day, as we hear your word, Father, we invite you to do a work in our lives, a work of salvation in our lives, a work of faith in our lives. Father, we invite your Spirit to cement these words in our heart, that the truth of these words would be our desire, our hope, and our joy by which we live. Father, may we be vessels of your glory, for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your praise, for all created things, for all time. Amen.